Are there any questions that you have about the course? Anything that you're going through that you'd like to relate the course to? Or just anything that you read or you heard that you need clarification on, or it's something that you use to frustrate yourself or frighten yourself or not give yourself peace about? Or just any general comments about the course right now, where you are, where are you in it, you know, in terms of how do you feel about it, how is it working out in your particular life? Yeah.
Well, sometimes I study and I have these intense experiences and I have to take a break from it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Do you ever do that with the ego?
Huh?
I've often heard, since I've been teaching, I've often heard people say that about the truth. But I always ask them, do you also do the same thing about your ego? Do you feel like you get really intense with your ego, and then you go, well, I'm just going to give my ego a break? Because, you know what I'm saying? It's like I very seldom ever hear anybody say, well, I've been doing my ego for so long, so I'm going to give my ego a break. But it's a very common statement that I hear people say about the truth, which is somewhat like... which is understandable, but it's also somewhat like saying, I've been breathing for a long time, and I just decided to take a break from breathing for a while. You know, it's the same kind of thing, because the truth is actually what makes it all work. It's not actually what makes it not work, so I have to get off of it. It's the ego that has to get off of it, because that sense of separation, fear, guilt, the story, everything that we've made up about ourselves, it's becoming threatened. And so that part of us will go, well, let me back off. Why? Because he says, so that I can rebuild myself. So the ego needs to rebuild itself because it's felt threatened. And so you back off of the truth so you can kind of solidify that old separate identity one more time. So that's what's happening when it feels like it's a whole lot. And what I've learned is that when my ego is doing that, that actually means I'm close to some kind of a breakthrough. And it would be the time to act. If anything, double it. Instead of backing off, you know, it's okay if you do back off, but if you can force yourself for a minute to go, okay, this is a trick. I must be getting close to some kind of real fundamental shift. So I'm going to breathe, and then I'm going to still let myself have it anyway. And see what happens. Yeah, go ahead.
See, before I'd always like try and be real disciplined and force myself, like, it's like my ego is being spiritual,
right,
trying to control it. Well, this time I haven't tried to do anything, but I've experienced a lot of growth. You know what I mean? I just hang out and listen, and I'm not consciously forcing it.
That's the best way in the world to get beyond your ego. The best way, the Course says, you don't try to humble it, you don't try to control it. And when you say ego, all we're talking about is the sense of our separate self, our separate personality, our story, our person, you know, who we make ourselves up to be. Which is kind of funny to talk about it that way, because it's what we think we are. So even though we might sit up here and say, oh yeah, it's just my personality, oh, it's like, the truth is, that's what you think you are. So when we talk about ego, it's not really something that can be taken as lightly as we take it, even though we tend to take it sometimes a little bit too heavy. It's like, it's literally what you think you are. You tell me what you think you are. You tell me who you think you are. You tell me your beliefs. You tell me your experiences. You tell me what you're going through, and all you have really described is your ego. Whatever you say, whatever descriptive terms that you give about yourself, like people say, how can I tell them to my ego or my real self? Well, your ego, that's your labels, your descriptions, and your interpretations. Who you really are is so far beyond any of those things that there literally is no description for it. So the minute you go into description, you're in your ego. There's no point that your description of yourself is not your, even if it's a highly inflated, grandiose one. That's still ego. Even if it's spiritual, even if you try to tell me about your spiritual identity, that's still your ego describing itself. So what we really are is beyond what we think we are. That's the main idea that the Course is trying to get us to understand. That what we really are is beyond any of the things that we've learned. And it's that self that is where your peace is located. So what it does is, it gives you, the course basically gives you, to me, the course just basically gives you a new ego. Only this ego is not one that is taking you away from the truth. This description of yourself is one that's more in line with the truth. Then it said, well, you're the holy child of God, you know, you're innocent, you're beyond, you know, all those cool things that the Course says. That's just giving us, he calls it, giving you new self concepts to replace the ones that you already have until you get beyond a concept at all. So you just continue to get more and more loving ideas about who you are until you actually really are transferred to what you really are. Does that make sense? So all we're doing is coming up with, so when you study the course, all you're doing basically is coming up with a new concept of yourself that won't bring you as much pain, won't bring you the fear, won't bring you the conflict that this concept of yourself does. A great example of that would be if I asked you to describe who you were 10 years ago, most of you would say, I was a totally different person 10 years ago. I hope. I've ruined it if you said it's not the same.
I have to have a little bit of air.
Okay, so this is a real interesting point. So, the you think you are now, that you are so sure you are now, that you would defend to the death right now, 10 years from now, you'll say this one isn't you. So why don't you just do it now? Why don't we just stop identifying with it as being our ultimate identity? Because you know you're not going to say you're the same person you are even five months from now. But while we're in that present concept, we think that's the one. So now this Earl is the real Earl. But the Earl 10 years ago thought he was the real Earl. And then the Earl 10 years before that thought he was the real. So this one right here is going too. So don't be so attached to it. It won't be who you think you are 5 months from now either. And so when I first realized that, it took so much weight off my shoulders as far as feeling so defensive about who I think I am right now. So that's why I say that if you're really getting this correctly, you kind of like don't worry about your ego so much. You go, okay, yeah, okay, this is all right. Today I'm mad. Today I'm weary. Today I'm afraid. Today I'm upset. And you go, you're going to feel the feelings. Because when you go into those places, you checked out. You know, you're not here. The best that anybody can do is just kind of create a safe space for you to go ahead and be crazy for a while. Because you're not going to be reachable while you're in deep in fear. You're not going to really be reachable while you're totally in your ego. You're just not. But your mind can't concentrate on two different things at the same time. So when you focus on the truth, what it does is it takes your mind away from the focus of what it is that's frightening you. So even if the situation physically doesn't change right away, it's a fact. Like whatever the situation that you're dealing with in your life right now, whatever that situation is, it's a fact. It's what you're going through right now. So the Course says there's no point in being angry at a fact. But you do have two different ways of dealing with whatever you think the fact is of your experience. One is you can look at it in the way that we've been programmed to, which is basically a very fearful way from the world. Or we can take what we're trying to learn here and we can go, let me see what this says, how I should look at it. And I guarantee you, if you go to this consistently, then you're going to feel better. It might be getting ready to haul your car away, but you'll feel a lot more peace when they go down the street. You know what I'm saying? You know, that's what I'm saying. It's like the purpose of the Course is to give you a perception of your life that will allow you to keep your peace no matter what is happening. It is not about physically manifesting what you think you want. That's not the Course purpose. We can do that as creators, but that is not what the Course in Miracles is about. And I have to say that over and over again to remind myself and people that come to the class. This book is about changing your interpretation of your experience so that you can keep your peace of mind. He says when you have your peace of mind, then you can hear what God is saying to you. You can hear your inner guidance. You are getting very specific instructions about whatever is going on in your life right now. We are. Very specific from Spirit. Whatever you think the issue is you're dealing with right now, Spirit is giving you very specific instructions about how to deal with it. The person says, well, I don't hear it. Of course you don't hear it, because you're listening to your ego. Or you don't even know how to recognize it if it was talking to you. See, that's what the Course does. It teaches you how to tell the difference between the voice of your ego and the voice of God. But he says, we don't know. So if you think you're just going to do that on your own without any help, it's not going to work. We need guidelines. Like here's a simple one. If it's an answer from the Holy Spirit, it will not be an answer that increases your fear. So if you think you're getting an answer from God, but you're completely upset and terrified, you're not. You haven't heard God's answer. You're hearing what your ego is telling you. It's really that simple. But he says, we like to complicate everything because we think we are on our own, taking care of ourselves without a higher power, is what he says is really going on in the world. So even when people study self-help books, spiritual books, metaphysical books, most people are studying those books just to take care of themselves better. They're still not doing the book in terms of let me get in touch with God. It's just how can I get more information that allow me to take care of. That's still the total ego perspective, and it won't work. So the Course is about connecting with Source. Manifesting books are about getting the toys we like to play with. Those are two different things. What I wanted when I was 10 is a lot different from what I want now. And when I was through playing with my toys, nobody just snatched them out of my hands and said, you can't play with this toy anymore because you're too old. Generally speaking, that doesn't happen. What happens? You just give it up. At some point, it just does. Okay, don't worry about the world. Don't worry about your desire for toys in the world and things of the world. You one day, you just let it go. So you don't have to force yourself to not want a car or to want that money you think you want or whatever toys we want. It's going to, as you mature spiritually, you're just going to change what you value. So you don't have to force yourself to be spiritual. You don't have to force yourself to give up the pleasures of the world to be spiritual. Okay? So if you really hear the Course correctly, you feel more innocent about your life as it is. You're not beating yourself up going, well, if I was really spiritual, I wouldn't be feeling this way right now. You know, that's the spiritual ego. I call it the idealized self. That's the cruelest part of us when we're on the spiritual path. The part that says, if I was really getting this, then I should be able to forgive my mother. And then if you beat yourself up because she's still holding the grievance against your mother, that isn't. Would God do that? That's what the Course says you should ask yourself. Would love beat you up? No. So there's no way you being more spiritual by continually condemning yourself about not being more spiritual. Yeah, but I actually think that made me spiritual because I was so mad because I wasn't nicer. So I must be spiritual because I was angry at myself for not being kinder. Okay, so don't fall for that. So I love when somebody asks a question, I get a chance to go off on a tangent for about 10 minutes. But I'm really just following what's being said to me and seeing it. Anybody else? Any questions, any thoughts, any comments about the Course or your Course study? Or anything that you're having a problem with, any concepts I've shared with you that you have a hard time with, this is a perfect time to take advantage of 30 years of my obsession with this material. Save you some time. Because I just see people go through stuff that they don't have to go through when they're new to the Course. Because everybody who's new to the Course goes through the exact same stages of misperception of it. And you know what I'm saying? They just do. So I could save you some time. Number one, anything you hear me say that frightens you, you heard me wrong. Because my purpose isn't to frighten you. So you couldn't be right. I'm not saying anything from the Course to frighten you. So if you're frightened, I'm not the one that's frightening you. You heard what I said, your ego interpreted it, and scared the hell out of you with it. To do what? Get you away from it. That's why if you go, like I've had people say to me, man, you said something about special relationships or whatever, and it really scared me. And then I could clear it up. What used to happen is people get frightened, but we, as adults, we don't like to reveal when we don't know something or don't understand something usually. So adults have a hard time saying, I don't know what the hell you just said. Because we think we should know everything, even if we don't know nothing about it. You know, I don't know how to fly a plane, but if you ask me, I'm going to try to make up something. Right? Because I'm an adult. So an adult, you know. So my point in saying that is that they frighten themselves, they leave and don't come back. Rather than go, that scared me. What did that mean, Earl? But that's what adults do. We do it in relationships. Rather than say to somebody, this is something that you did to frighten me or I have fear about, we just disappear. And don't tell them what we're upset about. You know, it's dysfunctional, but that's the way we were programmed. That's the way we were taught. And I want to do it differently in my life now.
I have a question. Sometimes I'll be in places and somebody will get under my skin, kind of. And it's not like they've done anything, but maybe sitting next to them, and you know, in a class or something, they're acting. You know. They're jumping around and they're kind of moving around, and I'm just, mm-hmm. everything they do is bugging me, you know. Mm-hmm. God, I wish they'd stop that, you know. Mm-hmm.
From a course perspective, there are many. So whenever I give an answer, just know that there's a lot of different answers to the same question. Okay, from the course actually, but it's really an attack upon yourself. The course would say, no, you're not attacking them because they don't feel your frustration. So they're perfectly okay. They're going to go out to the movie when they leave, and you're going to be ready to shoot yourself. So, you know, you know, it's not really them. Like a lot of times we're feeling guilty about what we're thinking we're doing to others. But the truth is you're not doing – the Course says if you're really not physically attacking someone, you're not doing anything to them. So even though that person was irritating me, they weren't actually feeling my irritation. I was. So the Course says that you to get beyond that, you would go, you would say how you feel, like that this person is irritating the hell out of me, and this thought is an attack upon myself. You find that you won't want to say that in most cases. It won't feel comfortable to say, this thought is an attack upon myself, because you don't want to attack yourself, right? So if you admit that that's what you're doing because you're the one that's feeling the pain, then your mind would automatically want to stop doing that because you've already programmed your mind to not attack you. Most of us feel like we shouldn't be hurt. Even though we do it so well, most of us are programmed to believe we shouldn't hurt ourselves. Agreed? Okay, so what would happen if I told you were hurting yourself and you really heard it correctly? You wouldn't want to do it. So even though it doesn't sound positive to say, this thought is an attack upon myself, it's not about positive. It's about stopping doing that, not no longer doing that. And the truth is, that's an obvious truth. I'm angry. I feel the anger. The anger is affecting my body. Doggone right. I am attacking myself. Okay? So the word book lesson, or you could, here's another one. I see only the past. What does that mean? Well, it means I'm getting irritated with this person because this person has reminded me of the times of my past that I was just like that myself. Fidgety or nervous or not focused. You know what I'm saying? It's like I'm just seeing my own past in this person. Or you could say, I'm giving this person's movement all the meaning that it has for me. I'm the one that's upsetting myself. Because you're feeling the feeling. So it's not about pretending you don't feel the feeling. Most of the workbook lessons actually start out with telling you to do what you do all the time anyway. That's what's so funny about the workbook lesson. He'll say, I want you to think about something that you're upset about and that you're angry about. And think about the attribute of that person that's upset. And you go, oh, that's hard for me to do this lesson. And he's like, no, you do that 24 hours a friggin' day. All day long you're having feelings and emotions about what you think. So all of a sudden I saw the humor of the Course. It's literally saying you're always doing part one of every exercise. That's whatever you're complaining about. That's whatever you're worried about. That's whatever you're upset about. Now, you already done first part. Now I want you to do the second part and then say, my holiness blesses this situation. Or God is the light in which I see. In other words, it says, okay, you're already complaining. Now say the lesson about it. So we're pretty much doing the workbook lesson. It's just that we won't do the part two of it, which is the actual. And then we tell ourselves, that we have to believe it. So therefore, if he asks me to say something, or the Course asks me to say something that I don't believe, then I don't want to say it. But then I forget that the first rule at the beginning of the workbook was, you need not believe the ideas. Just do it. And I'm like, what? He said, just say it. You may not even believe it. You may not have any faith in it. Just say it anyway, because it's symbolic of your willingness to be healed. That's letting the universe know you're really ready to see it another way, so you can get some help. Everything in the book is easier than what our ego tells us the book is asking us to do. And all being advanced in the Course in Miracles means is that you realize that. It's just how long I've studied this, it just, I realize that now. That's all the difference is. For me, anybody sitting in this room, it's that, it's like I just remember the tools more because I studied it longer. I still have my ego stuff come up, or things come up that'll challenge my peace. Just like if you can see me, I'm still learning. But I find that the things I'm working on are usually not the things that most people are working on who are new to it. Because when you're new to it, it's all still more about trying to change the outer in some way. And that's normal. The longer you're in it, you realize it's about you changing your perception of it. So your whole focus shifts. Where when you're new, it's all about, how can I get my husband to take out the garbage? Well, the reason why he doesn't take it out, in my perception, is that you have to learn that your peace doesn't have anything to do with him taking out the garbage. If he started to take out the garbage, and now you feel peace, then he's actually helped take you further into the illusion of your ego. He didn't help you at all by taking the garbage out, as long as you think your peace depends on him taking the garbage out. Does that make sense? So every time we think our happiness is going to come from something outside of ourselves, it's almost like asking God to go along with a deception that we are trying to perpetrate. I'm trying to fool myself into thinking that I can't know love unless you love me. So if you love me, I must be loved. Well, if God worked it out that I had your love, I would just be further convinced that my loving myself and receiving love didn't have anything to do with me. But suppose if you didn't, then at some point I'd have to make some other choice about making myself happy. I'd have to make my happiness not dependent on you. See the difference? And that would actually be moving me toward peace. So really, I believe, especially for people who are on a spiritual path, that sometimes when it looks like stuff isn't going your way, it's so that you'll stop thinking that your peace depends on the manipulation of an outer circumstance. If you're really serious about spiritual growth, then you have to learn that your peace comes from within. That's what the whole lesson is of spiritual growth. Does this make sense to everybody?
Yeah.
So every time I ask for something or request something or I'm adamant about something and it has something to do with manipulating my outer, I'm really going off my spiritual path, which isn't the same as manifesting. I'm going to keep saying that spiritual awareness and awakening and enlightenment is a different path from I need to program to lose 10 pounds. The Course would say, you would go, what do I want to lose 10 pounds for? Then you would make wanting to lose 10 pounds part of your spiritual path and would help you. He says, get clear. Why do you want to lose 10 pounds? That determines the meaning of that. Is it just to, you know, is it just to make your bait better, to catch a better fish, like the Course would say? You know, are you just trying to, and yes, that's exactly what it is. I want better baits. You know, I'll be straight up. I want my bait to be the best bait in the bait shop. You know, because in the world, it looks like the appearance of everything is what matters. So it's totally understandable to me that people are so concerned. It's the difference between wanting to look good for yourself and wanting to look good to be valuable to others. That's two different things. I find as you love yourself, you just naturally start doing things that's cooler for you. Just because you care about yourself, not because you're trying to get somebody. You know what I'm saying? It's like wearing underwear that you really like that nobody else is going to see, but you just feel good in it. You know, the Mickey Mouse thing gets you off. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know what I'm saying? Nobody knows, but you feel good about the silk undershirt. Right? Why? Because of you. It's just something you would like to do for you. So in a sense, it's like, that's the way all of it is supposed to be like. If I'm jogging, it's because I just want to jog because it makes me feel good and I like the way. Not because if I get this weight down, I'm going to pull that chick over there that's also jogging across. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's not guilty to do that. You're not guilty, but you're also still reinforcing the idea that your happiness comes from somebody else. That's the error. So it's no sin, the Course says. It's just a mistake. Just making a mistake. That's it. No sin, no punishment in hell forever. It's just an error in perception.
Yeah, I like that. That's really comforting. You know, I'm not getting what I want. That's okay.
Yeah.
That's showing me the truth.
Yeah.
Look over here.
Yeah. How many of you all have really taken that attitude and then watch as soon as you sincerely did it, what you wanted just pops up and it comes to you, but it comes to you in a form that's better than the one that you thought about? That's what I find to be true. Like, if I can sincerely go, I'm okay if it happens and I'm okay if it don't, more times than not, it ends up happening. If I can not fake myself, though, but really let it go, really release it, I find it to show up.
You're not attached.
When you want it, but you're not going to, but it's like wanting to go to a show or something, and you go, oh, it'd be nice to go to that movie, but you don't really obsess about it. And then before you know it, somebody's saying, hey, you want to go to that movie tonight? You know, because you didn't care. But think about the things that you obsess about, that you've been obsessing about for years and years that haven't happened, and you can see the difference. The one that you're attached to hasn't happened. The thing that you don't really care that much about, they seem to happen over and over and over and over again. That kind of thing, you know. So somebody else has to hang on.
I don't know if I can say more to try to build on that. It's that when you know that, you know, you can say, okay, I can accept what's happening. When you know, should you stay in there, try and figure it out, or walk away?
How do you know if you should stay in the situation? How do you know if you should walk? Okay, it's like, is this situation helpful to your goal? Is what's happening in this situation moving you away from your goal? Is what's constantly happening in this situation moving you away from your goal? Is one of the ways that the Course says that you should do that. In other words, if I'm feeling misery, if I'm completely feeling misery in a situation, it means that I'm not perceiving the situation correctly. If I can't change my perception, I need to change the situation. So if I've been trying to see it differently, but I just can't seem to see it differently, then that's your clue that you might need to make a physical shift in the situation.
If you do, will that lesson come up again?
But it may come up where you're more willing to practice this time. Some people, some situations, after a while, your mind becomes so fixed in what it believes about that situation that you can't change your mind about it. But then when you go into a new situation, all of a sudden your mind is open to the possibilities of the change, and you let the change happen. You know, it's like sometimes when you're doing couples counseling, people will come in and you know that they really don't want to be together anymore, but they're just trying to do it because when you offer solutions, they get more depressed. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're not excited when you say, well, so to get past this right here, all you have to do is because there are rules of relationships. So any counselor or teacher, they can give you the rules that would work. That's not hard. It's like, are you motivated to do it, right? So if you feel like there's no, like Course said, to be inspired is to be in spirit. So if I'm in a situation and I feel no inspiration in that situation, then I know I need to either change my perception of it, or I need to give myself a new situation, because it's the inspiration that creates the joy and the happiness and the success that's going to come out of that. It's going to come out of your heart being into it. So most people don't do things that their heart is into. They just do the things they think they need to do to survive. And that's why they struggle, and they don't realize that, because they don't know that their heart joined with their mind is the most powerful creative force on earth. But most people, they'll think it, but their heart won't be into it. Like, as a teacher, I see that a lot, where I say, you deserve to be prosperous, or you deserve to be happy, you entitled to miracles. And I say, well, let's say together, I am entitled to miracles, okay? And then people go, well, I am entitled to a miracle. Is your heart really into that idea? You got the thought, but your heart isn't in it. So one of the easiest ways to get past discipline problems is to do as many things as you can that your heart is into. Because if your heart is into it, nobody has to make you get up and do it. You want to do it. You know, so in a situation where, and the main way to tell whether or not you should leave a situation is to ask the Holy Spirit, to ask your higher self to give you a very clear sign about whether or not you should stay. And I guarantee you, if you do that sincerely, within 48 hours, something will happen that will show, if you're willing to see it, something will reveal to you exactly where you stand in that situation. You know, so those are just some suggestions of how you would receive your answer about that. Yeah. Because it's your heart that's the most important thing. If your heart is into it, then your heart will. So once you realize this is all folly anyway, see, there's a point on the spiritual path where you realize everything that everybody is so concerned and busy on and focused on is complete and utter folly. Okay, like most of the things that people make their happiness dependent on, you get. You know, basically at the level of the body, you need food, clothing, and shelter. Everything other than that is gravy. So most of the things that we want don't have anything to do with our survival. And the Course calls a fantasy defining, trying to satisfy yourself according to false needs. I thought that was one of the best little simple definitions of fantasy I've ever heard. Okay, a fantasy is trying to satisfy yourself according to a false need. You don't really need it because it's not happening right now. And nothing that's not happening right now is something you really need. And a fantasy, by its very nature, is always about something that's not happening right now. So the minute you have a fantasy, you're out of the now, which is where the satisfaction is really located. But the person is fantasizing because they don't like their now. You know what I'm saying? Why am I fantasizing about another mate? Well, I don't like the one I'm with. Why am I fantasizing about another job? I don't like the one I'm in. You see what I'm saying? So anytime you have a fantasy, it's pretty much based on dissatisfaction of some sort. But the ego tells you, no, it's a sign of how ambitious you are. It means that you're not letting yourself be stagnant. So what that means is, okay, always predicate your happiness on what's not happening now. See how insane that is? That you're successful if every second you're trying to achieve something you don't have. When you wake up, it's just the opposite. You go, God, I'm blown away by how many blessings are in my life right now. What's going to take up all my time is really trying to do all the things that I could do. It's just the opposite of a person who doesn't love their life. You're so full, you can't miss your old boyfriend because you're having too good a time right now. So if you're kind of like always thinking about the way it used to be, you can only be doing that if you're miserable or not happy now. Or you wouldn't even think about the old person, the old job, the old whatever it is. So the Course, to me, again, it teaches you how to catch yourself and to tell when your ego is trying to jam you up and when the Holy Spirit is guiding you. That's, he said, that's the only thing the book is trying to do. So if I'm in a situation and I'm trying to decide whether to go or whether to stay, the first thing I do is ask, what is my purpose? Is this situation or circumstance helping my purpose, or is this situation or circumstance hindering my purpose? Have I communicated? Have I practiced the Holy Spirit? Have I, as honestly as I could, communicated honestly with myself and everybody involved in that situation clearly, and therefore, if it was an outer situation, kind of giving everybody an opportunity to make an informed decision about it? You know, and most of all, to realize, which is really important, is realize I am sustained by the love of God. Because what I find that realizing I'm sustained by the love of God does for me is it keeps me from allowing a situation to manipulate and control me, because I'm so afraid of loss if I'm not in that situation. So I stay on the job that I really hate because I think the job is taking care of me. You see what I mean? Rather than, this isn't really fulfilling me at all, but I am sustained by the love of God, and I know that I will be taken care of even if I choose to do something different. See the difference?
Yeah.
Most people in the former category, they are just at what they call the lowest level of consciousness. It's the survival level. And that's where most people are at, especially now. Because what's happening is that the world consciousness and mass consciousness is making breakthrough. So we're experiencing on a global level what we go through on an individual level. which means that all of the stuff that seems to, I mean, I've been on the planet a few years, and I've never seen so many things like they were screwed up at the same time as it looked like it is right now. I'm serious. Have you? I never have. I've never seen so, I mean, I'm used to like maybe one thing happening and then something else being countered, but it's like, it's pretty much across the board right now. It really is. It really is. So which says to me that this is some massive defense against the truth of the mass ego, the collective ego. It's defending against some level of real love and power and truth that's trying to break through right now. So you got one camp, and I tell you exactly what's going to happen. You got one camp that's going to run to the past. That always happens. They're going to think that the way that we do this is to go back to whatever was happening in the past. So everybody or everything that represents the past is going to appeal to them. And then those who have realized that they want the future that's totally different from the past, they're going to go to whatever represents radically new ways of approaching things. So what's really happening is that we're getting an opportunity to join with more people like ourselves. And not only that, it'll be more easy to recognize who's more like ourselves, because these kind of situations make people reveal who they are faster. So you get a chance to see more about what really makes your friends tick and what really makes your relatives. You always see that when people go through what appears to be fearful circumstances, because when you go through a fearful circumstance, you act out of instinct. You act out of what you've been programmed, what you really learned. It's, you're not thinking consciously. Like I've used the martial arts example. You know, it's like when you learn in martial arts, they teach you things that you do automatically so that when the situation comes up, you don't think about it. Okay, that's what's happening to us right now. You're learning the martial arts of miracles. And you're giving yourself your particular forms, which are the lessons and the new concepts. And so when some situation comes up that's really challenging, you won't think what would the course say. You're going to do in that minute whatever the level of consciousness that you're on, you're going to express it in that minute. Like if you're angry, when you're angry, you're seeing your level of consciousness, because you can tell your level of consciousness by how you handle your upset. Because then you're at the instinctive level. Does it make sense? It's like now when something comes up to scare my ego, I run to City Park. I don't run to the phone to try to manipulate the situation and who can I call to straighten out this stuff. The first thing I try to do is get quiet, get still, and focus on the truth. That's the first thing. That wasn't the first thing I would do at another time in my life, but I've learned that that's my martial arts. So nobody has to make me do that, because I've seen it work too many times. I've literally had crises, gone to the park and studied the course, come home and check my answer machine, and the solution to the situation happened while I was in the park. I can't tell you how many times, whether it's relationships, a forgiveness. I had a forgiveness situation recently that I had to deal with. I said, what would the Holy Spirit have me do in this situation? I practiced what the course said do, and without me picking up a phone, without me calling anybody, without me doing anything, the person contacted me with a corrected perception of the situation. Now, if they had not done that, still I would have felt more peace than I would have had I not studied. But you see what I mean? Yeah. So when I say stuff like to people, if you really want to see your life change, for real, fully realizing that the stuff that's most ingrained in you is going to be the thing that takes the longest for you to change your perception of, right? Okay, but that's not what the ego does, though. The ego always takes your biggest dysfunction and tries to get you to start there, and then to see a miracle in that area just like that. You know what I'm saying? It's like whatever's the hardest, most intense freaking pattern that you've been dealing with forever, that'll be the first thing that your ego expects to change overnight, when it's actually the area where you're most rooted in your erroneous thinking. So actually you start out with the lighter areas and work down to the deeper areas. Like I tell people, you know, if you're going to practice forgiveness, don't start with the person you think molested you as a child. Start with the person that stole your parking space. You see what I mean? But that's not what our ego does. It'll take the most, like in the course, we're studying the course, it'll go straight to the most extreme situation and then try to half-heartedly apply the course there. And then when it doesn't work, go, oh, this stuff doesn't work. That's why your ego took you to the hardest place. The other thing it says So I love questions because it just leads from one thing to another. If you try to heal a situation through using spiritual means, you using your own consciousness, your own affirmations, or whatever it is, he says, then you should stop just focusing on trying to do that. It's not saying that's not saying don't continue to give yourself the truth. Except stop trying to heal yourself, because your belief is more in the outer healing than the inner healing. So you would probably let the healing happen faster if you trusted in something outside of yourself for a minute. For instance, if I got a headache and I've been trying to heal it through turning my aura purple, and I still got the headache, then I just need to go get the Excedrin. Take the friggin' Excedrin and then let myself be healed, because that's what I believe in. Go to the doctor. Why? You believe in the doctor more than you believe in your ability to heal yourself mentally. That's another very important one. You know, if you do think that love is totally external to you right now, then go ahead and find that person. You know, because you believe that your love for you is outside of yourself. Okay, great. But in the meantime, keep giving yourself the truth. But don't constantly fight your programming, because that makes your ego stronger. Okay? So these are little tips that come from all these years of working with this, between the people I've seen pull it off and give themselves a lot of peace, and people I've seen frustrate the hell out of themselves all the time. You know? Because it's really, if you're really doing this good, every now and then your ego is going to try to create a crisis or a situation that's supposed to make you forget any of this. I'm telling you, it's like, the Course says, we introduce the contradictions at the beginning of a change to try to convince ourselves that the change won't work, so that we can stay the way we are, which is already comfortable to us, even to make us miserable. Okay, so I'm a person who's afraid of love. So all of a sudden now I'm going to be totally loving to everybody, but I'm really afraid of people. Well, what am I going to do? Well, I'm going to be attracted to the worst person in the world. Why? Because then when I open up, which I'm scared to do anyway, and they hurt me, then that will give me justification for not doing the thing that I'm afraid to do in the first place, which is to open up. So when you're at the very beginning of a change, you should almost make allowance for the failure of it. Just go ahead and say, I'm at the beginning of this, and there's a good chance I'm going to try to do something to stop myself. And then don't be afraid. Don't be shocked when you go for the new thing that you're trying to get done, and all of a sudden it didn't turn out the way you wanted it to. You did that so that you could stay the way you are. Because that thing had to come through, it would open up a whole new set of lessons and things that you have to express. You know what I'm saying? If you really meet a loving person that you really can trust, that really is sane, and then you really would have to become vulnerable and open up. See, which we're afraid to do. But it's a lot easier for me to stay closed if I got justification, because there's nobody around me that's worth opening up to. Because I'm afraid to open up. So if I'm afraid of love, then I'm not going to attract someone who would make me open up, because that's what I am afraid of. I'd be attracted to the person who wouldn't give me the love, which would justify me staying the way I am, because I'm afraid. Same thing with money. You can apply that to everything. If you see yourself as having a prosperity issue, you need to ask yourself, what am I afraid of money for? What is it about money that I'm afraid of? What does it represent to me? Because for some reason, I think I am safer without it. That's deep, isn't it? But that's what's happening, because it's only fear that separates us from love and abundance. So if it's not happening, I'm afraid of it. Not only am I afraid of it, but also, which is really a trip from the Course, if I received it, I'd be more unhappy than I would be without it. So it was like saying, you know, basically people don't always know it, but they're always experiencing their maximum degree of happiness at any given moment that they can handle. And I'm like, what? You know, the average person, well, I know how the hell more happiness is. This is as much as you can handle, or if for some reason it will freak you out. And he says, that's why healing waits. Because he says most people would be thrown in a greater depression if their problems were solved than they would if they had the problem, because their life is built around their issues. Take their issues away, they don't even know what to do. You know, I know how to deal with not trusting women, right? But then if I had to, but then going into complete trust, that would send me into a panic, because now I got to really step up. I got to really be open. But as long as I'm with people who do me wrong, I can stay safe in the clothes. So that's, if we were sitting in here and an invisible teacher materialized in front of us, that's right, poof, right there. Do you realize that the threat to your thought system would be more frightening to you than whatever you were going through that you wanted the invisible master to solve? It would be such a threat to everything you think is reality, to have somebody appear in front of us, that it would actually be more frightening than whatever the situation is you think you want to get solved by this invisible teacher.
I guess that's why it doesn't happen.
That's exactly why it doesn't happen. That's exactly why it doesn't happen. Why don't you have more money than you have right now? Because it would frighten you more than you are right now. I can't believe that. You can't tell me if I can pay my bill. Sorry, no. If the time that it shows up, that'll be the time you open to it. It's just that simple. When it shows up, it's because you're right. You're at the point now that it could show up for you, and you give yourself peace about it. But if I think that money is going to solve my financial problems, then I am using money to take me further into unconsciousness and sleep. It's like everybody is thinking that if I can get the money, my problem is going to be solved. That's misusing money. That's using money. So that's why people who are poor and they don't have enough, it looks like they don't receive anything, because they are the ones that are most into idolatry. They're the ones who most don't believe it's God that's their source. And they believe it is the money that's their source. So why in the world would the universe answer that prayer? You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm helping you, but you're giving her all the credit. And if I help you now, you're going to give her more credit. Why would I do it? If I'm trying to get you to recognize I'm the one that's giving to you, and if I give to you and you're going to attribute it that it's the money that took care of you, why would I do it? I'm taking you further away from your safety. And so when I really got that from the Course, it was life-changing for me. It made such a difference I cannot tell you. You know, I teach the Course in Miracles full-time on a donation basis. If that ain't faith, I don't know what is. And people change constantly. I can't tell you how many people I've seen in the last 28 years. What's been consistent? I am sustained by the love of God has been consistent. Am I grateful to the channels? Yes. Because without your willingness to cooperate, whatever comes to me couldn't come through you. So of course I'm grateful to each and every one of you. Do I think you're the source of what's taking care of me? No. If I thought that, then I would be in a need-to-get place, you would feel it, and you wouldn't even come anyway. You see what I mean? So my life experience is teaching me that God exists. I don't need anybody to convince me of that. But that gives me a sense of security that nobody I know on the job has. Even though it looks like they're more secure than me. They would say, man, I couldn't live the way you live. And I go, I couldn't live the way you live. You know, I have to do what I want to do all day. I'm sorry. That's, you know, I can't be dictated to all day long by somebody else about what I do with my time, unless that's my divine place and I feel really great in that structure and what they're asking me to do is exactly what I want to do. And there are some people on their jobs and that's just the way it is. They don't even look at it like work. They'll say stuff like, I can't even believe I'm getting paid to do this. You know, but if I'm doing it because I think I can't make it if I don't have this job, then that's hell. To me. Maybe just me. So I would rather develop my faith in something greater than myself that I could depend on no matter what the situation is than to put all my eggs in the basket of GM is not going to lay me off. And they're going to come up with a new car that's going to sell so much that I'll be able to make sure I got this job until retirement. Because we're now in a different paradigm than when I was in my 20s. So when I was in my 20s, you really did like work for a company until the time you retired, and it was like, that's gone. That's what people don't realize. It's two things. The whole paradigm of that kind of structure is gone because as souls, we learn how to get more in touch with our own creativity, to connecting with each other and getting in touch with our source. That's why the whole paradigm has changed. People who are not taking the time to get at least familiar enough with the internet and computers and stuff, they don't realize that they're being left far, 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 far. They're proud. Well, I don't do nothing with computers. I say, that's fine. That's fine. It's like somebody with a horse and buggy saying, I don't do cars. That's okay. That's all right. And if you're okay with the horse and buggy like the people up in Pennsylvania, that's cool. But in terms of what's going on, what it symbolizes is increased instantaneous communication and joining. That's all that whole internet communication. It's just everything is faster, everything is quicker, and when you're part of that, you actually become part of opening your mind up to more telepathic abilities. And the psychic, that's what it's really about. So whenever you're proud of not progressing, which some people are, then you are putting yourself in a position where you're not making things as easy on you as they could be, which allows you to have more time to do what you want to do. You know what I'm saying? So, like, for instance, it's a lot easier for me to type out an email and hit send, and it hit and it get to a person in a second than for me to write a letter, put a stamp on it, go down to the post office and hope that I get there before the postman come, wait a few days for the person to get the letter, let them write the letter and get it. See the difference? Sure, both of them are innocent, but look at the difference in how quickly you get the response you want. But that's the way the course is. If you follow the new interpretations that the course is teaching, then it works faster than the ways that your ego is trying to get you to do things. The ego is the horse and buggy. You know. So that's. So anyway, that's something I wanted to share. I think it's important from time to time to do what I've done today. Just check in. Please ask me questions. I'm telling you, because there's no question that you can ask that the course has not some part of it that's addressing that issue that I'm familiar with. I just finished reading it again last week, and I think it's like, you should mark it off, I think it's like 95 times or something like that, that I read the entire book, but I've recorded it 12 times besides that. You know. So my point in saying it is I know that it's just about remembering. It's not that I'm retarded. It's that you know, it's like you're either a soul learner or what is your problem? 96, and then people say, well, if you've been studying 96 times and you haven't got it, you know, and what's the hope for me? If this the person say, I know exactly where it went. And see, you don't know where I've come from. You have no idea how much I've changed because true change is internal. You see what I mean? So it's like it's all relative. I've read it 96 times because I want to remember it. And every time I remember it, my life gets easier. It's not that I'm doing this because I'm so messed up. I'm doing this because it makes my life so easy. Easy compared to what I was before. It allows me to do what I want to do with my life every day. So, you know what I mean? So it's like it's different. I'm doing it. I can't wait to do it again. And then each time it reveals itself at a brand new level. That's the other thing. This course that I just read, this finished reading, it was not the course I read. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Every time you even see stuff you marked, and you won't even remember marking it. You say, I know it must have meant something to me because that's my highlighter on that page. But I don't remember even highlighting that. Each time it reveals something. What's revealing to me now is I used to read the course through my ego, through the part of me that was afraid and felt like it was almost something I had to defend against and wonder if it was right and, you know, and the fear kind of disorientation, the ego side of me. Now when I read it through the part of me that loves it. That gives you another book altogether. And you see stuff that you never saw when you was afraid of the material. So now, it's I hear all the loving Holy Spirit, God answers that my ego wouldn't let me see when I was first getting into it and scared of it and confused about it. So you get a chance to reap the benefits of that, because I'm not reading the course from a perspective of theory. I'm not reading the course from a perspective of fighting it, defending it. So when I share with you, I'm coming from a more defenseless place with it. I'm not coming from theory. I'm coming from 28 years of living doing the course. You know, so that experience, he says, can save everybody time. But that's what a real relationship does. It saves time. You know, if you already know how to drive and I don't, you can save me some time. It doesn't mean we're unequal. It just means you have a skill in an area that I don't have a skill. But there are many people that walk in and they feel like, because they're adults and they pick up the book, that they're supposed to immediately realize what it's saying just as quick as I do. And it's not like that. Any more than you being a cook and I don't know how to even boil water, and I'm going to go, well, you know, I should be able to keep it that book. We both adults, so I should be able to do this cake just as good as you, because we're adults. Well, that's what people approach the truth, though. They go, I should, and they just want to argue with me, and I stopped that a long time ago. Okay, if you don't take advantage, that's all right. You know, you can debate with me about what you think this concept meant based versus what I said the concept. I don't care. That's how you know I'm getting it. It's like, you know, I'm getting it. You can believe, always put what you believe is true before what you think somebody else is true, if that's what feels right in your heart. Anybody that's conscious is going to tell you to do that. And that's what I'm going to tell you. If there's a choice between your interpretation and my interpretation, and you really want to go with your interpretation, by all means, I want you to learn how to listen to yourself. Because that's what we're here to do. Learn how to learn how to listen to ourselves. I want to put you in the hands of your own inner guide. I don't want to be anybody's guru, anything like that. You know why? Just slow me down. If I believe something and I'm willing to live it today, why would I want to try to pull somebody along with me who doesn't want it? That would just slow me down. Because I can just accept the truth for myself. It doesn't matter if anybody else does. And you know what happens when you do that? You get the result in your personal life. And people around you may not even realize that you live in an enchanted experience. And that's what it feels like. Like you live in this enchanted experience that you look normal just like everybody else. But you know, and so they think you're just like them, and they hee-hawing and they're talking about the disasters. And you know that there's a way to get past it because you did the same thing yourself. And you can tell them, but they don't believe it. They don't believe it, so you just have to just remember it for them when they're lost, and that's our job. So I'm gonna do the love offering so everybody can get out of here on time.
Yay, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Remembering for all of us, you know, and keeping it mindful
and that's what I'm saying. Let me show you the results of that. Let me give you the results of that. You know, I feel like I'm used about 2% of what I could do for the people that come to my class. I really do. Because there are certain things I cannot really get across unless a person is doing some study on their own. It wouldn't even make any sense to me. There are concepts in the course that just wouldn't make any sense to me to talk about if a person wasn't themselves studying. So there are a lot more stuff I could talk about than what I talk about. But I think it's important to feel free to ask me questions and don't feel self-conscious about the questions. And save yourself some time.
I have just a comment. I went to this healing service once, and I remember going and going, oh, this is going to be really interesting. And I was pretty skeptical about it. And anyway, this woman minister was talking all about healing. I really don't remember what she was saying, but at some point in time, she had everybody write down a point in time when they had a healing, and then we were supposed to put it in this basket.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, you could go, yeah, there is such a thing as healing, because I personally would heal
that, yeah,
you know, in this
yeah.
way, that way, and
yeah.
this way. And then, I personally realized that it was possible that even though maybe that night I wasn't going to be healed of, you know, all the, you know, my list, but that in the past healing did actually continues to take place.
Well, here's the premise that the course gives. He calls it a time shift, and if you use this time shift, it's really deep to do this, but if you do this, it's a kind of perception that will create miracles. This is the premise of the course. Basically, is that you are already healed, already awakened, already back with God. Okay, did you totally achieve your goal? Okay, what you are now experiencing is seeing what you went through to get there. So everything that's happening to you right now was part of what happened to you to get the situation healed. The situation is already healed. That's deep, isn't it? But that's a different kind of time shift. It's almost like if you were to go to a movie at the end of the movie and then sit there to see what happened before you came in. Like, you saw how it ended, but you didn't know how it got there. Right? So you knew the end, but it was fascinating to see how it all, okay, that's what's happening now. Only now you're looking at it from the perspective of being in the movie instead of looking at the movie. And so when you wake up, you go back and forth between the two perspectives. You go back, you become the witness of your life part of the time, and you're like going, what the hell is Earl doing? Can't believe he's doing that again. Earl, you know, witness. And then you switch around and you're the Earl that's in the situation that's being described by you as the witness. And that's what we're doing sitting here. Now we're in the game. But there's another part of us watching the game. And so the Course says what you learn how to do is to communicate with the part of you that's creating the game. And don't forget there's a part of you creating this. You want to get in touch with that part of you. That's God. And that's how you get out of it. You go, I want to get in touch with home base. What's going on here? I'm down in the sub. Tell me. Get the guidance. We can be guided through everything. Life is not meant to be a struggle. It's just a result of guilt and fear that we're struggling. That's it. The belief in sin. Get rid of it. It's the worst belief in the world for your peace. You're not sinful. And I only say that to small groups of 10 or 12. It's not safer to do it at that level right there, you know what I mean? So I'll see y'all. You go back in the lab. Tomorrow is the next class at 7 o'clock.